Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, the Song of the Bee, text number 15. Divi, Bhuvi, Sha, Rasayam, Ka, Striya. Tat, Dharapa, Kalpata, Ruchira, Hasa, Bru, Vijrimbasya, Ya, Syu, Charna, Raja, Upaste, Yasya, Bhuti, Vayam, Ka, Apicha, Kripana, Pakshe, Hi, Uttama, Shloka, Shabda. Divi Bhuvi Charasyam Ka Sriyastha Dwarapa. Divi Bhuvi Charasyam Ka Sriyastha Dwarapa. Yeah. It's not Shinta, it's not the Brahma Samhita?
No.
What is it?
Divi Bhuvi Charasyam Ka Sriyastha Dwarapa. Kapata Ujiva Hasa.
Well, it could be any one of those. Could be that, or could be Divi Bhuvi Charasyam Ka Sriyastha Dwarapa. It's also possible. What's that? Divi Bhuvi Charasyam Ka Sriyastha Dwarapa. Seems to fit the minute. Yeah. You can lead it if you want. Go ahead.
I just said to be a chant like that.
Yeah, he makes up his own tunes too. It's nothing official. Divi Bhuvi Charasyam Ka Sriyastha Dwarapa. Kapata ruchi rahas hasaburu vijimbasya kasyu. Charana raja upaste yasya bhutir vayam ka. Apicha kripana pakshe yayutama shloka shabda. Bhuvi, on the earth. Cha, and Rasayam, in the subterranean sphere. Ka, what? Striya, women. Tat, by him. Dharapa, unobtainable. Kapata, deceptive. Ruchira, charming. Hasa, with smiles. Ru, of whose eyebrows. Vijimbasya, the arching. Ya, who. Siu, become. Charna, of the feet. Raja, the dust. Upaste, worships. Yasya, whose. Bhuti, the goddess of fortune, wife of Lord Narayan. Vayam, we, ka, hu, apicha, nevertheless, kripanapakshe, for those who are wretched, he, indeed, uttama shloka, the Supreme Lord who is glorified by the most sublime prayers. Shabda, the name. Translation purport by Prabhupada's disciples. In heaven, on earth, or in the subterranean sphere, what women are unavailable to him? He simply arches his eyebrows and smiles with deceptive charm, and they all become his. The Supreme Goddess herself worships the dust of his feet, so what is our position in comparison? But at least those who are wretched can chant his name, Uttama Shloka. Please repeat, in heaven, on earth, or in the subterranean sphere, what women are unavailable to him? He simply arches his eyebrows and smiles with deceptive charm, and they all become his. The Supreme Goddess herself worships the dust of his feet. So what is our position in comparison? But at least those who are wretched can chant his name. Uttama Shloka. So what did I just read, Uddhava? Oh, don't look at the board.
In heaven, on the in the subterranean sphere.
Now you're going to cheat and look.
I could summarize it.
Okay, that's all we're asking.
You can have any woman that exists. So
The goddess of fortune. The dust of his lotus feet.
So what position in comparison? But those who are wretched can chant his name.
Yes. Now we've learned. Yes, so that's good. Anyhow, point is we should listen in such a way that we actually remember it. What happens with how does Krishna attract the ladies? What's that? And what else? Deceptive smile. So you can learn a few things here. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states that Radharani's speech, expressing all the feelings of a disappointed lover, indicates an intensity of love for Sri Krishna surpassing even that of the goddess of fortune. While all the gopis are perfectly compatible with Sri Krishna in terms of their beauty, temperament, and so on, Srimati Radharani is especially so. In her forlorn state, Radharani indicates to Krishna, "You are called Uttama Shloka because you are merciful to the wretched and fallen. But if you would be merciful to me, then you would actually deserve this exalted name." So how could Krishna deserve his exalted name? What's your name? I can't hear you.
Nanda Mandir.
Okay, Nanda Mandir. How could Krishna deserve his name? Sandini Shakti. What's that? Merciful. How can he be merciful? Okay. Yeah, I mean, she's right. Because you're merciful. To who? Well, you have the book there. we have all these scholars of the book. Yeah, well, of course. To the wretched and fallen. But if you'd be merciful to Radharani, then he'd actually deserve this name. So, how is Radharani compatible with Krishna? Uddhava.
She has the deepest love for you.
Are you sure?
The book says.
That's not what it says here. Aniruddha Prabhu.
Compatible temperament.
Right. And what else? Beauty, that's right. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura further points out in this verse, Srimati Radharani expresses her spite born of pride. What does spite mean? Charanjeev. What's that? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti further points out in this verse, Srimati Radharani expresses her spite born of pride. What does spite mean? You don't know what spite means? What does spite mean? Anyone know? Being annoyed. Being disgusted, actually. And born of pride. So what is spite born of pride? Yes. Accuses Krishna of being a cheater and finds fault with his behavior. Does this sound like a submissive lover? Radharani is very submissive here, and first he says, I'm so wretched and forlorn, therefore I deserve your mercy because I'm so wretched and fallen. And but this is disguising her spite born of pride, and she accuses Krishna of being a cheater. Inconceivable, isn't it? Thus this verse contains a speech known as Ujjalpa. Everyone knows what Ujjalpa means? All our scholars and Rasa Tattva. So now we'll learn. As described in the following verse of the Ujjala Nilamani. Hare kuha ka ta kyanam garva garvita yeshyaya sasusyas cha tad akshepo dhirar ujjalpa iryate. The declaration of Lord Hari's duplicitous nature and a mood of spite born of pride, together with jealousy, spoken insults directed against him, has been termed ujjalpa by the wise. Can anyone explain this? So first of all, we go back. The other one was vijalpa, sarcastic speech that is addressed to the killer of Aga, that openly expresses jealousy, but at the same time hinting at one's angry pride. Now we're further, so that's vijalpa, and this is ujjalpa. The other one was perjalpa. Speech that denigrates the tactlessness of one's lover with expressions of disrespect. It is spoken in a mood of envy, jealousy, and pride. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti points out that the word Kaitava Bando expresses envy. The phrase from Snapna to Yatna, jealousy. The phrase Maspriṣa Angrim, pride. And the phrase from Vatu to Prasadam, disrespect. Or the phrase Yadu Sadasi, the end of the verse, cries Krishna's tactless treatment of Radharani. Seems like Radharani is angry, doesn't it? And then we go back. So we'll read another one. Seems like she's just, I guess they'd say, over the top. So I'll read the next verse here. Vishrija Shirasi Padam Vedma Yaham Chatukrarar Anunaya Vidushas Te Bibyetya Dotyar Bukundat Svakrita Iha Visrista Patya Patyananyaloka Visrijad Akrita Cheta Kemnu Sandeyam Asmin. Keep your head off my feet. I know what you are doing. You expertly learned diplomacy from Mukunda. Now you come as his messenger with flattering words. But he abandoned those who, for his sake, alone gave up their children, husbands, and all other relations. He's simply ungrateful. Why should I make up with him now? Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, this verse illustrates the qualities of Sanjalpa, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the following verse of his Ujjvala Nilamani, 14.190. Sulolutaya Gahanaya Kayapya Shepa Madhura. Tasya krita jgyata yukti sanjalpa katiyo buddhai. The learned describes sanjalpa as that speech which decries with deep irony and insulting gestures the beloved's ungratefulness and so on. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the word adi and so on implies the perception of one's lover of hard-heartedness, of an inimical attitude, and of a complete lack of love. Doesn't sound like she's Krishna's eternal consort, does it? Let's see. Oh, I see. So here the first word is salula saluntaya. So this is a double L. Soluntaya. Double L's. An L in Sanskrit looks like a heart. So when you have a double L, a lot of the verses is double L's. So that indicates a loving feeling towards this verse is about Madhurya Rasa. Rupa Goswami puts a lot of double L's in his verses that have to do with Madhurya Rasa, just like two hearts next to each other. So though this is seemingly in the mood of anger, but anger, loving anger. Anger, it is said that Kamsa, in the mood of fear, I believe he was fear, and who in the mood of anger? Hiranyakashipu, in the mood of anger, the gopis in the mood of love, etc. They were constantly meditating upon Krishna. But as it's pointed out in the beginning of the seventh chapter, that Kamsa's or Hiranyakashipu's mood of anger was even more, Narada Muni glorifies it because of its intensity. If you love someone, generally you can, it's kind of a light emotion sometimes. But if you're angry at someone, it's even more of intense emotion. So Radharani's, Srimati Radharani's mood of anger against Krishna is even more intense love than it would be if they were just meeting each other, her mood of separation. Although it seems almost inimical, pride, anger, frustration, envy, jealousy, but it's so intense, this love, that it's even more intense than just ordinary love. In the Nectar of Devotion it says, when Krishna neglects Radharani, or when Krishna does something that Radharani becomes disturbed at, she neglects him and becomes completely angry, and that neglect gives Krishna 100 times more pleasure than her ordinary moods. Of course, this is quite inconceivable. We don't suggest you try it out with your friends. What to speak of your wife or husband. But this is the inconceivable nature of transcendental emotions. Here, in the material world, our emotions are born out of the modes of material nature. They're actually just products of the modes of nature. But in the spiritual world, they're actually real emotions. They're transcendental, spontaneous emotions born out of deep attachment for Krishna. And the intensity is such that even one drop can inundate the entire universe with prema. To try to understand them, as I said yesterday, is not really possible. But therefore I'm going to read some more, unless someone has some comment to make about this. All we can do is marvel at how you can express the person that you're so deeply attached to, accusing and insulting and pride, envy, and whatever else, and precise, beautiful prayers, and apparently is born out of anger, but it's born out of the deepest possible prema that exists.
Mrigayu riva kapindram vivadye lubda dharma sriyamakrita virupam sridita kamayanam balimapi balimat va veshtayad dvangshad vayas tadalamasita sakyar dushyatyastadkatarata.
It's actually very complicated Sanskrit also. It's not translation. Like a hunter, he cruelly shot the king of the monkeys with arrows. Who was that? Who? Bali. Yes, Bali. Because he was conquered by a woman, he disfigured another woman who came to him with lusty desires. Who was that? Suparnaka. Yeah. And even after consuming the gifts of Bali Maharaj, he bound him up with ropes as if he were a crow. So let us give up all friendship with this dark complexion boy, even if we can't give up talking about him. Purport. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada explains the meaning of this verse as follows. Srimati Radharani said to the bee, "You poor messenger, you are only a less intelligent servant. You do not know much about Krishna. How ungrateful and hard-hearted he has been, not only in this life, but in his previous lives also. We have heard this from our grandmother." Who's her grandmother? What's that? Purnamasi, yes. Of course, Mukara is also. Where is Radharani born? What's that? Who is her parents? But how was she born from them? What's that? She was found where? In the hill.
In the field.
Field.
She was found in a river. I think King Vrishabhana was doing a sacrifice, and she was found when he was plowing.
Does it say that there's another story where she appears on the water as well?
In the water.
Oh,
okay. Well, that's all right. Somehow or another, she's found. She informed us that Krishna was born in a Kshatriya family previous to this birth and was known as Ramachandra. In that birth, instead of killing Vali, an enemy of his friend, in the manner of a Kshatriya, he killed him just like a hunter. A hunter takes a secure hiding place, then kills an animal without facing it. So Lord Ramachandra, as a Kshatriya, should have fought with Vali face to face, but instigated by his friend, he killed him from behind a tree. Thus he deviated from the religious principles of his Kshatriya. Is that true? Why did Lord Ramachandra kill Vali from behind a tree? Yes. But that's one of the reasons he gave him. What else? What's that? Well, that's certainly true also. Vali, when he had a boon, I think, I forget who gave him the boon. Lord Shiva or someone gave him the boon, that every time he faced his opponent, he'd get half the strength of his opponent. Therefore, Lord Ramachandra didn't want to face him, because otherwise he would have had to negate the boon. What else? Vali had stolen the wife of Sugriva. What's that? And therefore he was actually had violated religious principles, and therefore Lord Ramachandra wasn't really obliged to treat him like a human being, because he had acted like an animal by violating religious principle. Well, they're varnas. I don't know if they're just... Most monkeys can't talk. Hanuman was a monkey, but he composed perfect Sanskrit. He was a scholar in all the Vedas. Varnas, I guess they look like monkeys, but they're not. They're quite... They have some of the qualities of monkeys, but some of the qualities of human beings too, advanced human beings. Just like there's a class of living entities called what kind? Kim Purushas. So what do Kim Purushas look like? Yes. Kim Purushas. Kim means what? And Purusha, what kind of man is that? So they look like half man, half animal. Then there's another one, Kim Purushas, and what's it, Kinaras? Also, that means the same thing. What kind of human being is that? He was so attracted by the beauty of Sita that he converted Sorapanaka, the sister of Ravana, into an ugly woman by cutting off her nose and ears. Surpanaka proposed an intimate relationship with him, and as a Kshatriya, he should have satisfied her. But he was so henpecked that he could not forget Sita Devi and converted Surpanaka into an ugly woman. So isn't that Kshatriyas, they were supposed to accept whatever woman approached them. But in this case, Surpanaka approached Lord Ramachandra. And what did he do? He didn't actually do it. What's that?
No, he refused
her. He didn't refuse her. What did he say? What did he? Yeah, okay. What did he say?
Don't see my brother.
He said, I made a vow to accept only one wife, and I'm controlled by this woman, so I'm her slave. Besides that, I have no money. My father threw me out of the kingdom. I'm just wretched and poverty stricken. Therefore, such a wonderful lady like you, what good would it do for you if you approach a poverty stricken beggar like me? But on the other hand, here's my brother. He's not even married, and he's full of opulence. And why don't you go to him? He's much more of a worthy candidate. And what did she do? She went to Lakshman. And she said, Lakshman, accept me. And Lakshman said, no way. I'm simply the slave of my brother. Why should you accept a slave? My brother's just trying to cheat you. You should go back and insist. So then Surapunaka became very angry and said, it's only because of this woman here, Sita. Therefore, I'm going to eat her. So she went to devour Sita, and then Lakshman grabbed her and cut off her nose and ears, kicked her out. Make quite a headline, wouldn't it? Before the birth as a Kshatriya, he took birth as a Brahmin boy known as Vamanadeva and asked charity from Bali Maharaj. Bali was so magnanimous that he gave him whatever he had. The Krishna's Vamanadeva ungratefully arrested him just like a crow. How do you arrest a crow? Yeah, just snatch him. And pushed him down to the Patala kingdom. We know about Krishna and how ungrateful he is. But here is the difficulty. In spite of his being so cruel and hard-hearted, it is very difficult for us to give up talking about him. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that this speech of Radharani's is called Avajalpa, as described by Rupa Goswami in the following verse from the Ujvala Nilamani. Haro Katinya Kamidva Dort Yad Aksat Asakt Yavarogita Yatra Shresya Bievokta Sovajalpa Satamata. Saintly persons have concluded that when a lover impelled by jealousy and fear declares that Lord Hari is unworthy of her attachment because of his harshness, lustiness, and dishonesty, such speech is called avajalpa. Krishna is really getting it, isn't he? I guess we've insulted Krishna enough today. So you look at Srimati Radharani, she looks very passive and docile, but when she begins the speech, she really has a few things to say. We can also speak like that, you know. We can describe how Krishna, he grew up, and from the very beginning of his childhood, the first thing he did is he killed his nurse. Someone took him for a ride and he strangled him. All he could do was kick when he was a little child, and he knocked over things. And then after killing so many people who just passed by, he killed animals, he killed a duck, he killed a snake. His whole childhood was filled with killing. And when he wasn't killing, he went around stealing from everyone. And when he even got a little older, then he simply ran around with all these ladies in the village, played with the ladies in the village. And as soon as they became a little attached, he abandoned them all. So that was his childhood. And because he was addicted to stealing and killing and women chasing, he went around capturing all these women, hid himself in a fort, and the only time he came out was to kill people. And anyhow, still people are attached to him. Although he was born in a farm as a practicing aborigine, his life is full of killing and stealing and women chasing. Still, some people still worship him anyhow. So we can describe Krishna like that. Sometimes it's done like that in a mood which is rather offensive. Sometimes in India, people claim that how can we worship Krishna? He was so lusty that he married 16,108 women. And then Prabhupada said, yes, if he's lusty, then he's unlimitedly lusty. He's not ordinarily lusty. And if he married 16,108 women, that's not the extent of the number of women he can marry. He can marry 16 million women. It would only be a small manifestation of his potency. That he's already in everyone's heart. He's in every lady's heart. He's in everyone's heart as their husband. And if he comes out, as the director of the lives of all living entities, as Paramatma, he's already everyone's husband. And if he comes out and marries 16,108 women, that's nothing. That everyone already believes it belongs to him. That actually it's Krishna who's not the adulterer, but it's the husband of these women who's stealing from Krishna. Because everyone is actually his wife, and these men were claiming that these are their wives, they're actually the adulterers, because everyone is actually the wife of Krishna. In other words, by a little philosophy, we can understand what's actually going on in Krishna's pastimes. Of course, we know that Agasura, Denukasura, Bakasura, they were not just ordinary animals. They were demons who assumed the form of animals by their mystic potency. But still, it's all part of Krishna's pastime. Even Srimati Radharani accused Krishna she wouldn't have anything to do with him because he killed which demon? Arisasura, yes. Arisasura appeared in the form of a bull, and Krishna killed the bull. How did he kill the bull? Yeah, like a wet cloth. He stamped on him. I think he stamped on him like a wet cloth. He pulled that pulling out and stabbing the bull, that was with the elephant. With the editor's disorder. Yeah, I know he pulled out his horns, but I don't know if he stabbed him with them. He did. Okay. Good. Bloody mess. And then Srimati Radharani wouldn't even deal with him. She said, you become contaminated by killing a bull. And what did Krishna have to do in order to free himself from the sin of killing a bull? What did Srimati Radharani tell him to do? Yes, bathe in all the holy places. And what did Krishna do? Yeah, he stamped his foot into the ground and called all the sacred rivers, and they filled up his footprint. That became Shyamakun. And was Srimati Radharani satisfied? Why not? What's that?
Because Krishna bathed her and he said that he called her to bathe him. She said that he wanted to become contaminated because he was sick.
Yes, the water. And what did she do? And all the gopis began to excavate. And where were they getting water from?
Manasiganga.
And then Krishna said, all the holy rivers pleaded to Srimati Radharani that they could also enter into her kund. And she agreed by their submissive prayers. Tomorrow we'll continue on hearing about, tomorrow we hear about Abhijalpa. So we've heard Sanjalpa, Prajalpa, Avajalpa, Vijalpa, Ujjalpa, and now we're going to hear about Abhijalpa and Aljalpa and Pratijalpa and it goes on. So So the Chitrajalpa has 10 divisions known as Prajalpa, Parijalpa, Bijalpa, Ujjalpa, Sanjalpa, Avijalpa, Abhijalpa, Aljalpa, Pratijalpa, and Sujalpa. So we'll find out who this B actually may have been. Any questions, comments? Yes. We don't hear enough about her.
We don't really get to know a lot about Srimad Radharani. So then there's not a lot of description about her and scriptures from Norway, especially the
society. Well, maybe in the Bhagavatam there is not so much. There's different reasons. But in the Nectar Devotion there's quite a bit. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there's very long descriptions of Srimati Radharani and her mood. And other Vaishnava literatures. Some of it is quite inconceivable. She bathes in the nectar of pride, and she puts on a sari, which is made of her jealous anger. So there's descriptions which are beyond our present sense perception. She wears a locket, which is her deep prema for Krishna. She bathes in the nectar of youthfulness in the morning, and the nectar of bashfulness. Anyhow, there's quite a bit of description. But here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that only one place where it says Aradhana, this Shukadeva Goswami describes Srimati Radharani. One reason it was given by our acharyas is that since Shukadeva Goswami is the parrot, I think, of Srimati Radharani. But that would be sorry. He must be Krishna's parrot then. But he's Radharani's parrot.
I think he's Radharani's because she's the giving pomegranate.
Yeah.
Same chain.
But sorry, I think, is because sorry would always take the role, the side of Radharani, Srimati Radharani, and Sukha would take the side of Krishna. But somehow or another, there's some relationship there. In any case, because if Shukadeva Goswami had started to talk about Srimati Radharani, he would have become so ecstatic, he would have fallen into trance, and he couldn't have completed the Bhagavatam in the time that was necessary. He only had 7 days before Pariksha Maharaj would be bitten by the snake bird. So he didn't want to take the chance of falling into ecstasy, becoming stunned in ecstasy, not being able to finish the Bhagavatam in time. So he avoided talking about Srimati Radharani. But we have no such problem, so we can go over and talk a little bit about her. But in other Vaishnava scriptures, if you want to read, especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar Devotion, there's quite elaborate descriptions of her. And even more deeply is Ujjvala Nilamani, which is being quoted here by our acharyas, that she's a left-wing gopi. There's actually, in Ujjvala Nilamani, the gopis are, and the manjaris are divided into many different subdivisions according to whether they're left-wing or right-wing, whether they're submissive or unsubmissive. There's many, many different categories of gopis in Ujjvala Nilamani. But as Nectar Devotion is quite inconceivable, you'll find Ujjvala Nilamani is even more inconceivable, at least especially parts of Nectar Devotion, the second part. First we have to become acquainted with Rasa, which is composed of Vibhava, Anubhava, Satvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, and Stayi Bhava. So that's the preliminary for Rasa. And then the varieties of rasa that Srimati Radharani is experiencing, that's further delineated in second half Nectar Devotion and Ujvala Nilamani. Yes.
Wasn't it Madhavendra Puri who really first introduced the worship of Radharani in our Sikh association? Because he was citing quite a verse of Radharani using his passing.
Yeah, that's what it said. Therefore, he was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. The mood of separation from Krishna. Conjugal, Madhurya Rasa. Yes. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granta Rajamad Bhagavatam Kijai. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. For Pramande.